Today's episode of Secrets of Home Builders, Pat Cardone interviews Daniel Dow with Berkshire Hathaway, and they share their secrets of success, including the importance of educating their clients.
Hi, this is Pat with SG Home Builders. I'm here with Danielle Dow from Berkshire Hathaway, and we're going to talk about secrets of home building, and we're also going to talk about the market and what we look forward to in 2018. Danielle, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, when you started in real estate and your path to getting to where you are?
So I started about 11 years ago. I've been with Berkshire the whole time throughout their name changes and different company acquisitions, right. But I've always stayed with them. I started off as an assistant for the first probably two and a half years.
Licensed or unlicensed?
Licensed.
Okay.
And then probably I went off on my own right when the market really was tanking really well. So, but it was good. I mean, I think it was a great time to go off because it was hard to get deals done, and you had to work really, you had to work a lot more. Not that I say that you don't have to work now, but it was just difficult during that time period. So
what did you do to prepare yourself for this? Because I know in my career, I looked at it like I tried to partner with as many lenders as I could to find out as much as I could about money. Because the whole business is based on money. Tell me what your experience was to get you the systems and the things that you needed to really be able to be successful.
So I didn't know anyone when I moved to Chicago when I started.
Zero?
Zero. Not okay. One person. So
what, were you chased out of town?
Exactly. I came from St. Louis. Right. I was in a hospitality industry, so it's a really different industry.
Right.
I knew people, friends of mine had an appraisal company in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
My brother was a lender at the time, and I knew I wanted to get into real estate because I felt that it was kind of a good stepping stone from where I was currently at.
Right.
And it excited me, and I liked the thought of it. So I just got into it, and I looked for someone that was a top producer that I could learn from. And then when I went off into my own, a lot of it was just doing my own due diligence, you know, constantly on the MLS, trying to figure out the trends myself so that I can understand the market and the way that it moved and how things went, trying to get out and see as many places as I could.
That's smart.
Looking at all the different technology and different platforms online. Like, I'm very much, I love learning. Right. So,
I think that's a key of a lot of people in real estate.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You know, the whole learning curve. So when you, so go with the technology, I like this. This is good.
Yeah. So I tried to do everything, as immerse myself as much as I could. I tried to sit down with as many lenders so I could understand the financing portion and know all the different loans that were out there, you know, so that if I did have a client that came through, I was able to accommodate.
Right.
I tried to meet as many people as I could, just going out and talking to anyone possibly that I could. And I even throughout my first years would, you know, still kept like a regular bartending job part time here and there. I met a ton of people that ended up turning into clients down the road as well, as we went on. Because I think at first initially it's like, oh, you're doing both things. But then when they start to see you do more volume and see that you're what you're doing and see your name, it's like anything else. Then it kind of
snowballs.
Yeah, snowballs from there.
So, you know, our podcast is really about building and the construction side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, I know that you've been involved and that your family also builds. I understand St. Louis. Is that correct?
So Springfield, Missouri.
Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my brother and I have a development company down there.
Okay.
We do a lot of single family homes, subdivision stuff. That's typically what the homes are down there. We do spec homes. And down there are high-end spec homes is what we do most of, and they're between like $400,000 and $500,000.
Right.
So not, you know, as crazy as the market of what you have here.
Yeah, but it's still good, solid business.
It is, yeah.
You know? So how do you bring your experience as a broker into this? Because, you know, it's funny, I did a one of these a few weeks ago with Carrie McCormick.
Yeah,
and her experiences moving towards, you know, how she learned about the construction side of stuff and her experiences. So tell me a little bit about how that feeds into how you work. Because I know you're huge in construction right now. You work a lot with builders.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really interesting because I think sometimes buyers will take for granted, you know, having someone that knows new construction. I think that's a huge asset when you're looking for an agent if you're buying new construction, to actually have the agent know the process, because you kind of have to set the buyer up to let them know that, you know, not to say that you'll fail, but there's a lot of things that, you know, go throughout the process that you just need a buffer on, right? So if somebody says we're going to deliver in 3 months, hey, maybe not, you know, leave your condo for at least 5, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you know, give yourself some time. And,
you know,
if you're not a new construction agent, you don't deal a lot with it, you may not know these types of little...
Well, they're those little hidden gems of knowledge that you gain from experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when, you know, I look at it in a certain way, and I'm sure you do too. How do you walk your clients through this? Because I know, number one, someone comes to you and says, hey, I want to buy a new construction home.
Mm-hmm.
You're out showing them a house immediately,
yeah.
right? Showing them what's on the market to get them experience. So how do you get them from point A to the closing because a lot of it is education.
Yes, I believe. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the big thing is sitting down and having a conversation from the beginning and setting realistic expectations for them so that they understand what they're getting into. And that it's not, I don't think all of it is as easy as what a lot of people think. You know, when they see the shows online.
Oh boy.
Yeah, on TV, they think they can just go in and it's so easy and straightforward. And and I think it's a lot more detailed than that. So it's nice to have someone that can walk you through the process, but setting them up for success is the main thing.
Oh, yeah. Because it's easy to set them up for failure.
Absolutely.
You know, where all of a sudden egos are bruised and crazy ideas.
Yeah.
So tell me, so let's just say someone's coming to you and say, I want to buy a home, but I want to build it. How do you deal with that? First off, what do you do?
So we sit down, usually I talk to them about the numbers and what they're looking for. And then from there, I can kind of give them what the estimates would be depending on what area they're looking for and size of home and lot, you know, lot size, zoning, all of that. I can give them an estimate of what probably the cost of the land is going to be. And then also just from working in the industry, I know what the cost of the construction is going to be for the most part within a range depending on who they use as their GC or their builder and then also what level of finishes they want and what area they're in, because you know certain level of finishes depending on where you're at. So I kind of give them that picture. And
what about your partners? Do you have people you refer to like a designer as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I have about 6 different designers, depending on what projects that we work with.
Right.
Some of the developers that we work with that don't have their own design team. A lot of developers, the bigger ones we have, they have their own design teams, and that's great. But the ones that don't, we usually give them a designer. Right. So, because the developer doesn't want to be picking out the finishes.
No.
And honestly, I don't want to, because that's not my job either.
No.
So I would rather help them, you know, pay for a developer and give them that benefit as their listing agent so that they can have someone come in and that stress is taken away from them. And, you know, they know where they want to go to get the supplies and to get the finishes. And we just kind of put that designer in place to go and do everything for them. So I think that's something that we offer, our team offers to a lot of developers.
I think that's really wonderful, because I think a lot, you know, there was a big rush when Blackstone bought all these homes for rentals and all these other companies, that almost everybody who was in the business came rushing to the city because they saw that as opportunity. Now, once they came rushing in, then all of a sudden there's you know, too many people working, too many areas, too many pricing, too high expectations, way too high for developers and for builders to say, this is my new business model. It's not.
Yep.
You know, it has to be more realistic.
Well, and I also think too, in the process, when you're working with builders, you have to have a good solid team, from your agent to your lender to the builder to the designer, and everyone has to be on the same page, because if you miss one mark, that can throw off the entire project, even a single family, anything, especially right now with the current market conditions, because, you know, we're seeing certain areas that certain types of inventory are moving in one direction, whether it's up or down, right? Not every place in the city is moving the same way in construction. Having a really good pulse on the market and knowing, even to tell your builders, or when they bring land, or when I have people bring me land, like, I don't know if I would build right now because there's been this many permits pulled in this neighborhood in the last year, and this is going to, that could be an overflow, or, you know, you kind of know where the inventory is at, and that's what you try to stand.
It's that micro-macro thing, where you have to really look at it and say, okay, what's really happening long-term? Because, I mean, I really saw the market heat up price-wise because of huge investment, and then it didn't follow through because there's not enough buyers.
Yeah.
The market can't supply that many buyers at those price points.
Yep.
Too many options.
Yep.
Now, I don't know, you also do multifamily development. Some, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you walk through and work with those type of builders and developers, and also clientele to put them into these homes.
Yeah, so I think with the multifamily, we do kind of some rehabs. We work with a bunch of you know, developers that will come in and do rehabs, or and then we also do, we've done where they just build brand new, and then typically sometimes they'll hold for themselves, and we just kind of walk them through just the process of, you know, what they should build, because it's a different type of product for multifamily, for rental, than what you don't want to have. It's not a condo product, you know. You're building it a different way. You're building different size rooms, you're building different size units, and a lot of it also depends on what, you know, rental price point that they're wanting to hit and what the area is. So we can tell them, like, in this area, you know, you're going to probably expect to do these many rooms and get this much per room. Like, what the multifamily I see is more of, you know, your cost is like based off of a bedroom, for instance, you know, so you know kind of in that area, I'm going to get X amount for this bedroom.
Right.
So here's what I can build, and then here's what you should and shouldn't do, right?
Well, and their margins are tighter than most people realize, you know, because when you're talking, you might get $3.22 a square foot here, you know, that softens and you're down to 05, all of a sudden these guys aren't making any money that year. It's tough.
I think you're kind of seeing a little bit of that, right?
I'm seeing it right now. I mean, we got 60 cranes going right now. How is this going to play out in the long run?
I think you're going to see more of it. I mean,
so do I.
So my sister, she kind of heads our rental department, and we work on and off with a bunch of different investors, but I would say within the year we could maybe do anywhere from like 60 rentals a year to sometimes over 100.
Well, that's fantastic.
So
that's a good revenue stream.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you can kind of, you feel the market in that too, right?
Yeah.
So even the last year and a half, we have told a lot of our investors, like, if you need to do stuff to the unit, if you need to rehab or if you need to change, do it now, because we would expect to see prices continue to go a little bit farther down as far as rentals go. So get that stuff done now so that when, you know, that kind of hits, you maybe are able to stay a little bit more level than what your competition is.
Right.
You know, but we are seeing, I mean, a lot, it depends on areas too. It's there's trendy areas that you're not seeing it in, but there's other areas that you're definitely seeing the prices go down on the rentals, and we've been seeing it for a little bit. And I think if you would talk to most people that do rentals, you know, you're seeing it in the high rises for sure, and they're offering all sorts of incentives, but you're also seeing it in just your neighborhood, six flat walk up, you know, whatever the case may be, you're seeing it there a lot. Yeah. And educating your investors, this is what I would expect to happen.
I mean, that's exactly what our company's about, is about in, you know, educating. Like you were asking me about podcasts and all this. We've been doing this forever because we feel that, you know, the best thing we bring to somebody is knowledge.
Yeah.
After 500 some homes, it's, you know, yeah, we got guys at all different levels we can build for you, but it's telling the person and getting them set up so they can succeed.
Sure.
You know, and that's tough because, you know, like you're saying, these do-it-yourself shows are trying to make people crazy.
Yeah, but whenever I sit down, no matter who the client is, I go through the entire lifespan from when we're going to start to when we're going to end,
right.
And I explain to them what the pros and cons are.
Right.
And then you explain everything to them, you go over it, and then you let them make the choice.
Absolutely.
You know, then you say, hey, then this is up to you. But as long as you've explained everything and you know what you're talking about, I tend to find that the process is usually pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's just if you don't know what you're doing, you don't explain everything. And I think that's where it can get a little tricky with new construction, depending on, you know, kind of who you're working with.
I agree 100%. So tell me, what do you think is going to happen in 2018?
I think it's going to be interesting.
Come on, give me that Danielle Dell projection here.
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I believe everyone sees a little bit of the same thing, which is if we could mass produce a ton of units between $400,000 and $800,000, it would be great, right?
Right.
That market's really moving, and I would think that it's probably going to still move pretty well.
Right.
The higher end stuff, unless it's really special, you're kind of seeing it sit a little bit already.
Right.
But it'll be interesting because I don't know exactly 100% sure where I'm at. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and I have a lot of people think that the spring's not going to be that busy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that we would still have not really maybe gangbuster spring like we have been having, but at least a decent one. And I think that will still happen.
Last 2 years have been a strange pattern where it's 6 months busy, then dead, then kind of picks up at the end again, ready for the new spring.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen again either.
Yeah.
You know, there is some concern, you know, to me, what I'm seeing is that you've still got huge holders of properties who haven't done anything with some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying costs are going to kill them. They're going to have to drop price to just take losses and move on at some point. I don't know how that's going to affect the market, you know, because there is an oversaturation point. But if the economy booms, who knows?
You don't have to.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. If our GDP goes to 4% or something from our 2% of the last 8 years or last 10 years, last 12 years, we might actually have a market again. You know, because I heard lenders are loosening standards. Oh my God, let's don't go through that again. But, there's got to be a happy medium here somewhere.
There does. I mean, I'm always of the idea of, like, even in a down market, there's always opportunity.
Amen.
So for me, it's like you look at it and you figure out a way that how you're going to turn that.
Right.
Maybe what some people would say is, you know, a bad time into a good time, right?
That's how we build our business. We build our business in a bad time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was.
I did too.
There was opportunity there. It was there for those who would work and those who would do the research and get the knowledge and make it work.
Yeah, and I think even with you, like, sitting down and having these podcasts, like, meeting people,
learning
from them, building relationships, you never know what the next
thing is
going to come.
That's my whole point. I want to work with everybody.
Yeah.
It's not like I look at this and say, oh, you know, this, you know, that's why we have the ability to have an in-house architect. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to have an in-house designer, but why have them? With the Builders Association and people like you have met, you could recommend me to six designers right now that I'd probably say, wow, this is fantastic. You know what I mean? There's so many talented people that is, I really encourage everybody in the industry, get to know everybody, meet everybody, talk to them. You never know who your partner's going to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I mean, I partnered with a ton of people over the entirety of my career.
Right.
And I think I will always see that moving forward. I mean, I think it's fun. You get to learn from someone else.
Amen.
And you get to watch what they're doing, and you get to take it and like, hey, if I like that, I do. If I don't, I don't. Or maybe I don't like it that way.
Hey,
and
I've stolen from a lot of good people.
I was doing a lot of other people are doing the same thing, right?
Right.
So it's interesting. It's really, I think it's, I just think collaboration and learning are the main things that I would say.
Yeah, it's important.
And are the most important things.
And here's what I gather just from meeting you the few times I've met you. You're a creative person in your own way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you may not be the one to sit down at Crochet's.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I'm not can't draw either. You or paint you anything.
No, but you have that creative spirit, you know, and that
I enjoy creative people. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I really like a creative person. I wish I was more that way, which I'm not. But with this industry, that's what's great about it, especially with new construction, because you get to see all the creative
side too. That's what I'm saying.
It's not just like a regular resale where you're just like, here it is,
this,
here it is.
It's funny. In this industry, you find the spreadsheet guys who are just nose-dived into this and have no clue about the creatives, but the creatives really make this kind of fly in the long run.
They do. And I think it's crazy to think when I first started, I would never thought that I would work with so many different type of people. And even me, like, I really get a little crazed about the numbers. Like, I love knowing the price per square foot in every single city. I love knowing what all the new construction buildings are.
Right.
For some reason, I really like having
wonderful.
That knowledge.
Well, I like to break it down to one number, just like you. This price per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that number, it makes your presentation easier.
Yeah.
It makes explaining it to an individual easier.
Yep,
you
absolutely.
Know. Do you use any personality assessments with your clientele?
I don't with my clientele.
Do you do with your crew?
We have done one. I can't think of what the name of it was but
DISC?
We did with the team. I believe it may have been.
Yeah. It's interesting.
We
it's
did it like 2.5 years ago.
We've been playing with this in terms of how to understand your clientele in terms of how they communicate and trying to be able to recognize. And now there's actually some programs, I'll give them to you after we're done here, that online you can actually get an assessment of the person by their history of how they write emails. So you can actually get insights on how they actually communicate, like, you know, the person who needs to feel safe, the person who needs who needs to talk, like obviously you and I are bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be here for 45 minutes.
Right.
To be 15.
Right. And then the ones who want direct knowledge, you want to get control, you know, got to have, this is how they think. It's interesting. I'm just saying there's a whole gamut of people. But the funny thing is, I think there's certain categories we fit in. And that's what I think helps sales.
I agree with that. And what you were saying too, I like to keep a lot of the information about like the tech and the startups in real estate. And I just had someone within the last 6 months come to me and sit me down and ask me exactly, like, hey, if we gave you like this type of a personality test to send like an email to your clients and they filled out, I think it was 5 questions, it was not that much.
Right.
And they literally could figure out who you were dealing with personality-wise so that you could decide, well, either this is a good fit for me or maybe this is a better fit for someone on my team. It was really interesting.
Which I think is fantastic, especially for someone running a sales organization like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you can assign the people to the right people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we go around, I go around with my partner Ryan, and we'll do presentations of cost of construction, how to put it all together, how to put deals together, like all the knowledge you gather and you've got from your experience. But we pass this on to agents. And it's like one of the things I think is that when you look at people in the teams they've built, just the different players in their teams, you know, it's so interesting when you look at them.
Yeah.
Because they're not the same.
No. I mean, you don't want the same. You want to have a wide variety of all sorts of different talent that you can bring on so that everyone can kind of, once again, collaborate together. And
absolutely.
You never know where each other's mind is. But, yeah, that's really interesting. I thought it was, when he brought it to me, I was, wow, you know, this is where it's
if
going.
If you're interested
right?
in finding out more information about how you
well,
can
well, thank you so much for being with me today.
Daniel Dow's project.
Once again, Danielle Dow with Berkshire Hathaway.
Daniel.com.
Thanks again.
Or
bye-bye.
Reach her at 312-391-5655. For more information on how you can build or remodel your own custom project, you can visit us at sghomebuilders.com. Thanks so much and have a great day.